that some of the other days. Again, the goal is for you to lock into at least one or two ideas that maybe you've never heard before, or that the Holy Spirit is helping you. Wow, I better read that every day this week. Or find some way to make the Psalms a really important part of your life. Many of them were written by David. Some of them were written by others. But even if you focus on the ones David wrote, what is his testimony? That the scripture says David was a... Excellent. Thank you, Linda. A man after God's own heart. Now, does that sound like a pretty good goal that we should have? Be a man or a woman after God's own heart, a person who your heart's connected to God's heart? Well, the Psalms are a good source for that. Remember, Psalms is divided into how many main sections? Five. We've done four already. This is considered the fifth section. It's Psalm 107, so you can be turning there if you like to follow along. I don't go over all the verses, but as I went through this preparation, I at least tried to pick one or two that the Holy Spirit just, mentioned that one a little extra. But most of the Psalms, there's one verse, and even though there are many that say don't do things, the ones I've tried to focus on are, hey, let's get busy doing these things. It'll help us. So, but many of these Psalms, as a group, seem to express God as the omnipotent creator, omnipresent, which means he's with us all the time, like the scripture says, the eternality of God. So those, there are like four or five characteristics that hopefully all Baptist churches are teaching. If we don't understand the God that we trust for our salvation, does that make our faith weak? If we don't really understand more of this God that we say, okay, I can ask you to take away my sins, but don't limit this God. And these Psalms do a really good job of expressing why God says when he will answer our prayer and when we say we have a clean heart, all of those things tie together for us. It helps us to live a great way for the Lord. So verse 1 of Psalm 107 kind of starts us off with some really good things about our God. So I'd like to read the first verse. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why? For he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. Wow. Have you spent much time thinking about how merciful God has been to you? Well, as you go on, there are a few psalms that use that phrase, for his mercy endureth forever. And the best psalm for that phrase is coming up into this section. So when we get there, I'm sure you'll find out. Yep, God's mercy endures forever. But he's good. He's worthy of our thanks. This psalm also mentions some of the history of Israel and how God watched over them. Is that important for us? To know how God watched over his chosen people, Israel? Leah, why? Why is it good for us to know Israel's good, the goodness God had for Israel? Okay. Do we understand as Christians there are scriptures that teach we are adopted into God's family? And if God did things for Israel, we should expect him to do it to his adopted children, Christians. So, let these build your faith. Psalm 108, David is rejoicing over victories that God gave Israel. over the neighbors. Now, do you remember Abraham had more than one son? Do you remember that? His name Ishmael, kind of Sarai and Abraham found a way that they were going to do God's plan of giving them a son. And do you know the neighbors around Israel came from Ishmael's descendants many times? And now at this time in history, David is having to fight them. And through much of history, David has fought the technically illegitimate children that God had a plan. Isaac, Jacob, and then the 12 tribes of Israel. So David is rejoicing over those victories. And look at verse 5. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and thy glory above all the earth. Do you ever see verses from the Psalms and the hymns we sing? Lots of times. The concepts of what the Psalms teaches are many times in the hymns we sing. Every week, just about, you could find something related to the book of Psalms. Psalm 109, God asks David, not God, David asks God for a long list of judgments. Now, these judgments are David hoping God's going to wipe out the enemy and give him victory over the enemy. Verse 30, I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yea, I will praise him among the multitude. And that's why I think it's important we come to church. Let there be a multitude gathering, encouraging. Really helps to understand that. Psalm 110, David is expressing his heavenly Father. And there is a reference to the Lord being the judge of the earth. It doesn't use Jesus' name, but when you stop and think, who is the one, I believe who it is, the one who actually spoke the words that created this universe? It was Jesus. He created this world. It fell into sin ever since Adam and Eve, and we have all become sinners, and we have a need of a Savior. And then what did Jesus do when he came to earth? He redeemed us. He died on the cross so that we could be saved. That's why he's our Redeemer. He made the universe to start, and then it fell into corruption and sin, and then he came back and redeemed. So David is praising God for that. But that was 1,000 years before Jesus came to the earth. That's okay. God doesn't care what time it is. He knows everything in the past eternity, and he'll know everything in the future eternity. So that's not a surprise to God. But Psalm 110 is a good expression of our Heavenly Father. Psalm 111. I would like you to join me when we get to verse 10, but I'm going to start in verse 9. 111, and I better get there myself. Verse 9, he sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. And then if you'll read verse 10 with me out loud. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. If that doesn't stir your soul, find the Savior who can stir it better. Psalm 112. Someone who fears and trusts the Lord, which we are told to do, God will provide a stability for that person's life. And verse 6 is a good verse to think about. Surely he hath not been moved. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. And when you know you're ever in God's eye as a Christian, what strength and stability that gives your life. It helps you not want to do things that might upset our Heavenly Father. And He will guide us through every day. Psalm 114, a review of some of God's control over His creation. And it includes some more of the history of Israel when Moses was being led out of the wilderness, through the wilderness, leading the children of Israel. I'd like to stop at Psalm 115 and read the first three verses. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Does that kind of give you an idea that our testimony needs to be good for the Lord? Because, as has been said, lost people who aren't interested in the things of God, if our life doesn't give them a motive to be interested, I think it hinders what God really wants to do. Yet alone, the efforts that we spend going out witnessing and ministering to other people. But those three verses are great. I'd like to share also verse 13. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. And there are other verses that talk about God blessing unsaved people. I believe God will bless unsaved people if they keep some of the principles. Those unsaved people who are truthful, those unsaved people who are diligent, God will bless their lives too. But there sure are a lot more blessings than the few things when you are saved and you serve Him out of a heart of love, and just so much more to the Christian life. Psalm 116. It's kind of a shift. When I read through this, I thought, why should we love God? What results will happen when we have a motive of love as we serve our God? But I stopped at verse 17. I will offer to thee the offering of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord. We have to keep that humble attitude. And then, what did God promise if we will humble ourselves? He is the one who will lift us up and give us the promotion that we deserve. But that's only after we tamp down our own pride and sinfulness. Psalm 117. Here's a good psalm to memorize. Two verses, 33 words long. You say you want to memorize a psalm? Start with this one. You don't have to start with Psalm 119, right, Mark? You don't? 176 verses? No, start with Psalm 117. Verse 2, for his love, merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Well, if you can memorize verse 2, you just have to memorize the first half and you'll have the whole psalm learned. But you could spend a long time thinking about those two verses. Psalm 118, I call it the warm-up to Psalm 136. Why the warm-up? Because when you look through the first four verses, they all end with, for his mercy endureth forever. And that's just a warm-up for Psalm 136? Yes, I already let the cat out of the bag. Didn't I say there was a psalm that every verse ended with, "For his mercy endureth forever"? Well, this is the warm-up to it. Much of our life depends upon God's mercy. When things in the world seem to be falling apart, is your life falling apart? Maybe Kimberly thinks because her car broke down. No. You know what we have to believe, Kimberly? That God wanted you here this morning for some reason. And he knew that you weren't willing to stop and spend the night with a good friend. So I said, "Nope, I've got a plan." Our life doesn't always go the way we want it to, but we've got to keep that in mind. As he gives us those opportunities, there are reasons for why. Because there's a promise. He knows what's best for us, even if the life seems a little bumpy and hard. Verse 21, "I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation." Well, good thought. Are you ready for the longest psalm? We just had the shortest one a few moments ago. I did attempt at one time to start memorizing Psalm 119, all 176. I think I made it to about verse 38, maybe to 40. But you know what happens if you work at memorizing and then you stop? You forget what you tried memorizing before. So, find a psalm you can memorize besides Psalm 23 and besides Psalm 1. Those are both, I think each, they have six verses. But teaching them in the school all these years and repeating them in lessons, I'm not sure I could quote every single word, but those are two pretty easy psalms. Psalm 119 is a toughie. There was a preacher who came to preach at the church that I got saved in 1974 in South Florida, Jack Van Impe. His reputation was Mr. Bible. He had learned like 90% of the scripture. Amazing. He could quote reference verse faster than you could write down just the references when he preached. But he memorized a huge portion of the scripture. He's also the one that said the Lord was coming back before the end of 1975 when I was planning on getting married. I was saved in late 74, got married the end of 75 to my one and only wife, one and only girlfriend, and the Lord, that's how he worked out in my life. But I liked verse 11. And Brother Leo says it just about every Tuesday. Right, Brother Leo? Because he's here to say our pledges with us. You see, some of these psalms are in the pledge we say to the Bible. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God." That's the pledge we teach our students in school for God's word. And you'll find that in verse 11. That portion of it. But it gives. Almost every verse has a word that means God's word. The words include the law, the precepts, the statutes, the testimonies, the ways, the commands, the statutes, the judgments. If you read through that whole psalm, you'll see those words over and because in every verse it refers to. I think at one time a pastor asked the church to find any verses that didn't have a word. And I spent that whole week reading that psalm, asking the Lord for wisdom. I think I found three. But in some way, in our English Bible, the words don't always get translated. But in the Hebrew Bible, every verse has a word that represents the law of God, God's word. So as we take time to study Psalm 119, it'll stir your heart for the love of the word of God. Psalm 120 is a plea for deliverance. And again, David does that regularly. He asks for God to deal with his enemies. Psalm 121, seek the Lord's help. He will preserve us when we do. Verse 7, the Lord shall preserve thee from evil. He shall preserve thy soul. It isn't just on this life protecting us from evil things. It's for all eternity, based upon the salvation that we have in Christ. Psalm 122, the confidence the Jews put in God's protection of Jerusalem. Is there anything special about Jerusalem? Well, when God established it, it was a place that David lived, set up his kingdom, and he brought the tabernacle there so that the children of Israel could worship as a whole nation. And he wanted to build the temple. And God said, sorry, you've been a man of war, but I'll let your heir build it. And that's what Solomon was able to do. And does Israel have a temple today? Do they have a temple? No. It was destroyed in the centuries since. And then when Israel was reestablished in 1946, 7, 8, that's what I've heard. It's right around then. I know. It's not worth arguing. They're a nation now. They've never had a temple since. Are there plans for a temple? When is the temple going to be ready? When the end times are here and what Revelation talks about, they're going to have a temple again. But Psalm 122 is protection for Jerusalem. And there's still a lot of conflict there today. Psalm 123, a plea for God's continual oversight due to his mercy. And that's what is needed to counteract the contempt we find in so much of the world. So Psalm 123. Psalm 124, God's people relying on God for safety. Look at verse 8, if you will. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Even though many of these psalms tend to be on the short side, they're still packed with so much truth. Yay! I'm on the last couple pages. Psalm 125. I'm still in 119. Trusting in God is a lasting truth. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, and if God is going to protect Jerusalem and the mountains around Jerusalem, we should trust in that protection as well. Psalm 126, it's talking about the Lord returning to Zion, which is the name given to the promised land that Abraham was promised his descendants would have as a habitation. But if you'll follow along in verses 5 and 6, 126, 5 and 6. Yes, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Even though that may be directed to Israel and Zion, that's a verse we hear a lot in Christian circles today. Why? The importance of evangelism. sharing the truth of salvation to those who don't believe it? Are we weeping for lost souls? It says here, we'll reap with joy when we do. Psalm 127, children are highlighted as being the heritage of the Lord. So as God has prospered families with children, they're the heritage of the Lord. Psalm 128, more blessings for a righteous home and family life. Verse 1, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. But that goes into a little more detail to guide a family in Psalm 128. 129, it's dealing with the afflictions that came to Israel because of their wickedness. Did God promise something to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? That as long as their descendants would love God and serve God, God would do what? Take care of their needs and protection. But he also said, if they don't, what would happen? Destruction. Their country would be ransacked by enemies. So there's a reminder. Psalm 129. Psalm 130, redemption will come if we're waiting properly for the Lord. Oh, I'm just going to wait until the Lord comes back, right? Is this waiting properly, class? Sitting down, doing nothing? Just hoping? No. The waiting God's talking about is, let's keep busy doing what he wants. He will bless us along the way, and he will provide the fruit of his righteousness with our service. Verse 5, if you would like to follow along, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. God's promises are real. Have you written any of his promises down lately and said, Lord, I remember when you did that for me. This week of Thanksgiving, are we going to be more thankful this week? I hope not. If we're not thankful every day of our lives, we shouldn't just set aside 1 week or one day to be thankful. It's a continual blessing. Psalm 131. It elevates the importance of humility before our mighty God. Satan had a problem with that humility, right? And the scripture recorded that God had to cast him out of heaven and cast him into the earth, and now he's been causing trouble for thousands of years. No, we have to stay humble. Our hope, though, is in the Lord. I like Psalm 132 because David gives us some important examples to follow. It talks about him trusting the mighty God of Jacob, and that's in verse 2. I didn't write down my verses this time. How David's kingly line would continue is down there in one of the verses. Sorry, I didn't write down the exact verse. A third example, how God protected Israel and will continue to protect him in the future. Now, if you want to get a little bit of prophecy, this is where what the Lord's going to do coming back in the millennial reign is described in Psalm 132 as well. So that talks about what's in the future. Psalm 133, another very short psalm, but blessings and peace come from unity, is the thought that I had. Unity with a righteous Savior, and then unity with righteous Christians. There's unity. There's strength in numbers. Well, People from the world didn't make that statement up. It's true from God's word, God's perspective. Psalm 134. Blessing God with our praises promotes the God who created the universe. That's why I enjoy singing so much. One of the reasons. Blessing my Creator. Psalm 135 is a portion I'd like to have you read with me when we get to verse 13. But it's a collection of great things God has done. It begins with him choosing Jacob, which is in verse 4. It gives some of the history of Jacob up until verse 12. And then from there, it just gives us a bunch of good reasons why all of us should praise God. But let's read verse 13 out loud together, please. Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. Sounds pretty continual to me. And if we're really believing in this God who's going to do the things he says, makes our life a lot easier. Better to keep me on track. All right, the famed His Mercy Endureth Forever Psalm. Psalm 136. It begins with a discussion of how God was able to forgive Adam and Eve, and then how God provided a Savior, and then he continues to forgive all who will confess him as Savior. But I'd like us to focus on verse 5. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. Psalm 137 deals with a different perspective. When I read this, I was thinking the Babylonians asked the Jews to sing one of their songs of praise to their God. That's where my mind went. And if you understand Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian kingdom, when they came in to conquer a land, they didn't make life terrible for all the people. The philosophy of the Babylonian kingdom was, okay, we take in, we conquer. We pull out the wisest, strongest leaders, bring them back to Babylon, teach them the Chaldean ways, the Babylonian ways, and then let them go back and rule the people. And they didn't really care much about religion. We do learn quite a bit about Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. You don't recognize Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael? You do? Who are they? The three friends of Daniel, who the Bible almost always calls Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Why do we remember those names? Those were the Babylonian names that the king gave these Hebrew children. Now, here's a hard question. Do you know Daniel's Babylonian name? It's only listed a couple of times. Belshazzar. I think it's Belteshazzar. Belteshazzar. You see, the Babylonians didn't want them having names that related to their God. They wanted them to be adopted into the Chaldean ministry. But Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael never really went back to rule in Jerusalem because Daniel and his three friends were promoted to rule over all of Chaldea. Wow. We know those details through the book of Daniel. That's way off track from this, but The Babylonians wanted the Jews to remember a song. Cheer them up a little bit. Psalm 141. David desires that God permit righteous people to be the ones who were used to do the correcting of him. David wanted righteous people to guide and correct him instead of the enemies, right? Isn't that what we hope? That we have Christian friends strong enough who will say, you know, if you will listen to the thoughts that I have, or are we just going to shut them down and say, you're not going to teach me anything? Well, that kind of goes against some of the principles that God has. Let the righteous people correct us rather than the ungodly, especially. Psalm 142. It's one of the cave psalms. You remember any of the cave stories with David? Brother Antonio, do you remember any of the cave stories of David? Cave stories. No? Mark? Excellent. That actually happened twice, right? Saul and thousands of soldiers are hunting David and his several hundred, and they're chasing him all around the mountains, and they're hiding in a cave. David and his men get in the cave first. A little bit later, Saul and his leaders come in, and David said, I can't kill him. He's God's choice. No, God's hand of blessing is off of him, but I'm not going to kill the king. He could have been king 20-some years earlier than he was. No, because Saul was king 40 years. But David chose, and he wrote a psalm about it. Psalm 143, David is telling about his many challenges. However, God always had a plan for him. Verse 8, one little phrase, cause me to hear thy loving kindness. Verse 9, deliver me. Verse 10, teach me to do thy will. Verse 11, quicken me. Oh, if we would put those four things into our lives, I think God would accomplish great things. Can I finish in 2 minutes? Psalm 145. David is deflecting the praise people would give him to God, just like we should do. Verse 8, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. Psalm 146, reasons we should praise God. I like verse 5, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Psalm 147 is very much like 146. It's praising God. Verse 11, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him and those that hope in her mercy. Psalm 148, the entire universe and all that is in it are to praise the Lord God Jehovah. Verse 13, but I won't read it. Psalm 149, the praises of God will affect glory to the saints and the judgment of unbelievers. Psalm 150, praise comes from many ways, but it's six verses give a great summary of this phrase. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. Now, it was a super rapid machine gun style. Thank you for your patience. Just let some of it be a great blessing to your heart, even if it's just for a few days. Father, let the wisdom that your word provides us be our guide. And do help us to praise you with all of our heart. In Jesus' name, amen.